Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's session. I'm going to talk to you about a workflow I built using open source AI, and the main idea is to take videos and summarize them. Before I start, I will tell you a few things about myself. So, hi, I'm Harald. I'm Python technical lead at Anexia, and I typically work with Python. I also do DevOps and recently a lot of AI. Also, I'm an open source maintainer. You can see here my GitHub. I do technical blogging. I'm a part-time lecturer at universities I mentioned there. And also in my free time, I do photography. So before we start, I want to see some hands before. Let's see, who of you spends multiple times every week in online meetings? Okay, who of you takes notes during those meetings? Okay, and whoever had misunderstandings because in those meetings some things were missing or they were not correctly taken during the meeting? Okay, so, and whoever wanted to automate this without losing privacy? So we're in the right room then. So why I started this project? A few years back, I started doing an AI course at the university, and I had to do a final thesis. And this final thesis, I wanted to do something that helps me understand how AI models work. I wanted to know how they are trained, what they can do and what they cannot do. And I also wanted to see how I can build something where I can host this on real infrastructure, and it should be something usable. So speech summarization was the topic that I chose. So what was the challenge? We had something back in the days that caused a lot of meetings to happen remotely. So that was the whole starting point. The idea was there are a lot of meetings and a lot of potential hours of recordings that can be available. But as I said, and as we have seen, useful summaries take a lot of time. You need to take them manually. Sometimes they are incomplete, they're inconsistent. So you also lose some of the context that you need in order to take decisions. And if you have ever done recordings, I think rarely somebody goes back to watch those recordings. I don't know, can we maybe raise hands who has recordings and almost never goes back to watch them? Exactly. So I looked at this. When I started this, it was 2022, and the tools that were available were usually cloud-based. There were tools that you can inject in your meeting, so they acted like a note taker. But this means you are always giving up your privacy because you are sharing actually everything that you are speaking inside those meetings. So the goal was just use open tooling, create some sort of format that can be interchanged, and use it on your own infrastructure. This is how we came to the first application that I will show you, which is called Speech Condenser. And Speech Condenser was more or less a pipeline that I built from start to scratch in order to take a video through multiple steps. I have marked those bigger boxes here where the AI models lay, and there are some small bluish boxes where there is some processing in between. So let's go step by step. The first step was an audio extraction. So whatever kind of input I get, be it a video or just an MP3, I have to take that file, or I can take a URL where the source is, and I need to validate it. And I have to see what the duration is, what the size is. And at the end, I need to convert it to a WAV file, because I will do a next step where this file will be further analyzed by an AI model, because the next step is speaker diarization. Speaker diarization is the process where you are identifying each speaker inside a conversation. So the idea is you want to know how many people are speaking inside your video and at which time. And the software I used for this is called Pianote Audio. It's an open source Python implementation for speaker diarization. What it's generating is an RTTM file, which I will show in the next slide. But the idea is we can get each timestamp for every person that is talking. The only downside of this is that we cannot use it commercially if we want to, but we also need to accept some licenses on Hugging Face if we want to use it. And this is how the pipeline of Pianote Audio looks like. It has some very complex steps, and it also takes a lot of time and resources. And the final result will be a file that looks like this. So you see, you have speakers. The speakers are not identified by name because this is not what the tool can do. It has no information about the name of the people that are inside your audio file. But it can detect individual features outside of the audio, and it can assign it as speaker with numbers. So the next task that you can do is you can assign those individual IDs to real persons. After I did this, the next idea was to extract audio chunks. So now we have timestamps for each person that is talking. So the idea was, let's turn the audio file into multiple audio chunks. So we have segments for each individual speaker, which we can then take into speech recognition. And for this, I used a tool called Whisper, which was released just as I started implementing everything. The idea was like this: we can preserve a lot of metadata, and we know that we have only audio from one specific speaker that was identified. One other downside here is we start to dig into bigger hardware. We can do this also on CPU, but it works much faster if you have a GPU. Why I choose Whisper? It's a tool that was built on a lot of audio material. It's available in 96 languages, and it has a very, very good word error rate. At the time it was released, it was state of the art for speech recognition. So this is the result that we had after we run the step of splitting the files in the speech recognition. We end up with a lot of text files that we can assign to each speaker. And this is how a text file looks inside. So the next step is to combine those results. And we can combine them also by using a Python script. And the whole idea is we have the RTTM files, we have the partial text files that were analyzed. And if we combine them, we can have something like a JSON, like here, which we can use also with other tools. What we can also do is we can create a simple dialogue file, which you can use as a context for AI models. Which is the next thing that I do in the final step in Speech Condenser. I used at that time a model called BART, not to confuse with BART, the predecessor of Gemini. This is also a model from Google. It's a much smaller one. And the model was actually fine-tuned with a data set provided by Samsung. It's called Samsung, and it's a data set that contains dialogues and the concrete summaries of those dialogues. The downsides of this tool is it has a context length of about 1,000 tokens. And this means we need to improvise if we want to do good summaries. So I started doing this by splitting the dialogues. And by doing so, we started having some fallbacks, of course, because we don't have the entire context anymore. So we will get something back, but it's not going to be perfect. In fact, this is how it looks like. This is a summary from a panel discussion from the DjangoCon. This is a video that has about 37 minutes, six speakers. It identified 118 segments, and this is the summary that it got. So it's more like a TLDR style of summary. What Speech Condenser is also able to do is to fragment it into 5-minute segments and to do multiple of these kinds of summaries. Also a downside, this is English only. So if you want to do it for other languages, you need to start to build your own data sets and you need to start to fine-tune BART for this. Which brings me then to the next part, because I realized this workflow is not really practical. It had downsides. So it was a CLI-only workflow. I had really trouble explaining it to other people, what I actually built, because it was only a CLI. So CLI is not really practical to show to non-technical people. Also, it was hard to run. You had a lot of dependencies. The setup was also very hard. It was also hard to maintain because there were a lot of individual containers. And you had no way to interact with the result, which is also a big downside. But I discovered at that time that a lot of those AI models, especially LLMs, also started to be released in the open world. And one of them was Llama 3.3. And this is a model that was released in December 2024. It understands multiple languages out of the box. It can process a much larger context. And the really the main advantage now is that it can be used for a prompt-based interaction. So how did I get to that? I participated in a hackathon. And at that hackathon, I wanted to actually build something. And I used my knowledge from Speech Condenser, and I always wanted to have a web interface for it. So this is why I started here. And also, at that time, I realized AI inference became really good. So there are two providers. One of them is Grok, which offers LLM inference on their LPUs, and the other one is Cerebras. They have another technology, it's called VaporScale, and both of them, they are capable of taking that model and run it really, really fast. So you see at Grok, we get about 400 tokens per second for the 70B model, and on Cerebras, we get about 2,500 tokens. They both expose the model under an OpenAI compatible API. So this means I can take that model and use it. The downside now is that I have a trade-off. I'm now sharing data again. But this is something that I took into account for the hackathon. At least I can build it during the hackathon. I only had to take care what data I'm using. So how does the pipeline work on Speech Condenser? I have a video URL. I take it as an input, or I simply have a video that I upload, same as on Speech Condenser. I do audio extraction and normalization, and just the same steps with FFmpeg. And afterwards, I send it to do the ASR with Whisper. But in this case, I don't use my own hardware. I can use the hardware from Grok, because Grok also offers Whisper via API. And I get a transcript. So the next step now is to build a pipeline to work with this transcript. So I have a structured transcript from the previous step. I have a system prompt now. And I combine them. I get a assembled context, which I can use in a chat interface. And with this now, it's opening new opportunities. I can now do summaries. I can see action items. And I can actually send real questions now related to my transcript. And this brings me to that interactive chat I was talking about. And I am going to show now a quick demo with it. And let's hope that this works. So the application looks like this. This is a demo instance that I provided on my personal server. And I have some videos that I already transcribed, but I'm going to take now one of the recordings that's available here from a previous edition of this conference. And all I have to do is I have to take this MP3 file and I have to add it into my interface. So, next thing, I have also to take the title and let it process. So what's going to happen here now? the video, so the MP3 file now is going to be downloaded in the background, and it's starting to process afterwards, and after it's done with the processing, I will see here that it's ready, and then I can use it. This will take a few seconds or minutes. Meanwhile, I can show the process here. So we add a recording. We see that it's going to transition from new to in progress to ready and to complete. And we can inspect the transcript and we can chat with it. So there we go. We can see now the transcript here, which is the full transcript of that MP3 file. And the next thing that I can do now is I can chat with it. So I can really ask it whatever I want. The next thing is I also have some pre-rendered prompts like this one here, which is called summarize this content. And this is going to send it now all together to my LLM provider, and it's going to create a summary of this. Maybe this is a bit small. Let's see if I can zoom in. There we go. Probably it's going to break now my interface. Yeah. Okay, but what I can also do is I can create those predefined prompts where I have much more details. And now I can see when I'm really putting some effort into my prompts, if I build really good prompts, I can have very good summaries. Like I see here, I can see that the prompt is responsible for structuring it into taking the key takeaways, also create a list of notes, and it's also extracting for me the best quote, because this is the structure that I provided here inside my prompt. Okay, how does this work? So we have multiple components now. We have a frontend. The frontend is React-based, and it's a single-page application, basically, and it's interacting with a REST API. The REST API is built with Fast API, and it simply has some simple endpoints for managing the jobs. So you can create a new job by adding a video or a URL, and this will save it in the database and will send it to those workers. There are two types of workers running in the background. There are workers for downloading stuff. So if you provide a YouTube video or an MP3 file like I did previously, it's going to use this worker to take the file from that specific resource. And it's going to convert the file. So we always need an MP3 for our API that is OpenAI compatible. So we need to send an MP3 file. And the next thing is the ASR worker, which is taking that file and sending it to the API where Whisper actually works in the background and creates our text from that video file. And then we also have some storage. We have a PostgreSQL database where we are storing all the information related to the videos that we are processing. And we also have the transcripts once they are ready. And we need an S3 compatible storage for storing our videos or audio files. This is the full infrastructure, so we can see also how those services communicate with each other. As we can see here, we have the download worker that's only requiring the S3 compatible storage and the PostgreSQL database. And after the file is downloaded, it's going to save the information again in the PostgreSQL database, so the other worker knows that it's going to take that file and process it with Whisper. And once this is done, we are ready to just use our React-based UI with the Fast API in order to chat, basically, with our video. So how is our data journey in this case? So you've seen I started with Speech Condenser, where everything was locally, but it was painfully slow, so it wasn't really usable. Then Voice Vault happened during that hackathon, but we kind of lost this control over our data. But the good news is, for a few months back, I updated everything, and now I made it compatible with things like Ollama and also with other services that are available for Whisper. So you can now take this into account. As long as you are using Grok, you are sending audio files to that external provider. You don't need any special hardware, which is the benefit, but you trade off your privacy. Once you are, again, self-hosted, the data is yours. So what do we need for ASR? There is a service that I linked here in the slides. It's called Whisper ASR Web Service. What you can do with this, you can start a container inside your own infrastructure, and it will manage your Whisper models. You can do it only on CPU. It's going to be painfully slow. But if you have a GPU, it's going to be much faster. The thing is, a speech condenser is designed in such a way that the videos, if you are uploading them, they can take as much time as they need to process. So you need to consider this trade-off. Mostly, you will interact in the chat interface, so you can have minutes or maybe hours on a CPU. If you need it much faster, if you process lots of videos, then you should consider a GPU. Also, for the large language model, you can use OLAMA now. There are also some other very good tools available where you can run LLMs on your infrastructure. What I would recommend here is also find the model that fits best for you. So there are models that are very small that can run on a CPU. There are models that are very big where you need a whole cluster of GPUs to run them. So make sure you choose the one that fits best. You have to also consider you are only having here a turn-based chat. So you don't need special things like tool calls or whatever is actually required in the background if you use those AI coding agents. So you are better off with the smaller models also. And what I would also consider is start on a CPU, see if this works for you, and if you need to scale, then consider the GPU. And swap models. So try different models, try the models that work for you. So this is how the configuration looks. If you are running on Grok, the portability means we're just switching. So we don't need to do anything else in the application, we're just switching our configuration parameters, and we're connecting it from those remote services to our local services. So, what's going to be next? So, I'm looking now how those landscapes have evolved. And I see a lot of those consumer GPUs are now capable to run mid-ranged Whisper models and are also capable of running 7 to 13B LLMs. Which is kind of very good for this sort of stuff that we're doing. We also have Apple Silicon. I don't really like Apple products, but I have to say they did something good in terms of running AI on a local machine. So you have the possibility to take something like a Mac Mini. It has about 16 gig of RAM, and you can run those models on it. Also, AMD is also creating those NPUs. Hardware like the Ryzen AI is also capable of running AI models locally, especially considering that you can combine it with the RAM of your machine. And also, this is another trend that is happening. Smaller models tend to be better. So we have seen a very good shift in the Mistral 3 models. Qwen, the models that were released from Alibaba, had in the 3.5 version very, very good performance. And also recently, the Gemma 4 models were released. So those are very good candidates that I want to integrate in the future inside this tool. So really, I think in 2023, I thought, if you want to run something like this, you need a data center. You need to have GPUs and so on. Honestly, today you can really do it on a developer machine. Also, Whisper, if you consider it, it's a tool that has released now about 3 years ago. It has a lot of fine-tuned versions, so versions that run much faster. And there are also some other models that I plan to integrate, like the NVIDIA Parakeet or the Canary, and also the VoxDraw. And also, I think 2 weeks ago it was, Cohere released a new transcription model. And that transcription model is now state of the art. It has the lowest word error rate from all the models that are currently available. And I'm also linking here the ASR leaderboard, which is a really useful list of AI models. So here you can see how those models are actually performing, especially considering the different rankings they are actually measured against. So what's important for speech condenser for the future releases? So the accuracy is a pretty big thing, because as you see, there are models that are now performing far better than Whisper. Also the speed, the small model that NVIDIA released is about 14 times faster than Whisper. So this means kind of going back to the CPU might be possible. I still have to test this one. And also the architecture would be interesting to test how this would work with speech-to-speech models or directly LLMs that are capable of analyzing speech. So what's still missing now from the 1.0 version? So currently Voice Vault is at version 0.3. So what I'm planning to integrate are this ASR abstraction layer. The ASR abstraction layer will be especially useful to switch the ASR provider, because at the moment you can only use the Grok and the Whisper ASR web service. And the only thing that I found now that is most pluggable is the so-called OpenAI compatible API. For some reason, this is the API that is now used broadly across applications. It's the same for LLMs. So LLMs, typically tools like Ollama or vLLM will always offer you for the LLMs an open AI compatible API. Then the next thing that I want to do is actually bring some flexibility in the prompt management. The system prompt is currently hard-coded in the code, in the code base, so you cannot really manage it. You can manage the prompts that you are reusing in the tool. So I have to zoom out a bit again. It's the wrong button. There we go. So you see you have here those templates, and inside you can actually manage those pre-filling templates that you can use in order to interact with your summaries. What I actually plan to add is now the system prompt. So you can actually go ahead and also tune the system prompt to your needs. This will give you much more flexibility. And I will also add a method inside how to manage the model that you want to use, because at the moment this is also bound to a fixed model that is configured in the settings. But if you are running something like Ollama, you can flexibly change the model. And I want to simplify the installation. So the installation is now Docker-based. It's not that complicated, but it requires Docker know-how. So you need how to provision containers and build them, or how to fetch containers from an external registry. And as I said, I want to go inside more advanced models that were recently released that can process audio directly. And I want to see how those can perform. So what we covered. So we looked over how we can use open source and open source tools to create summaries from videos. And we can see this is something that is really production feasible, especially if we look at the level of detail that we are capable of getting from such a chat interface. So you need to compare the first result that I've shown you from that table discussion on the DjangoCon and compare it with this here. So you see you get really a full list of all the topics that were discussed. And what I can also do is I can ask actually other things. Because if the names are available in the content, the model is also capable of extracting it from me. So I can see now I have here the full list of people that also attended the conference, and everything is hidden here somewhere in that huge transcript. Okay, then. We see also sovereignty for this kind of tools improves when you use open standards. So by using those OpenAI compatible APIs or by using S3, I'm capable of switching the services. So I don't have to rewrite my entire software. I can simply swap the services. And I can also make this available for the people that are using the application. They can simply reconfigure it how they need it. And I would always consider, start small, consider the trade-offs at the beginning, consider that you need to take care of your data and scale afterwards once it's required, once you see that your product works. And that's it from my side. Thank you very much. And I would like to continue with some questions. I think a mic is going to be turned around here.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Any plans to extend this for extraction of video picture information? For example, the key picture frames like slides.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I know Google does this in their Gemini interface. So it is actually possible. The only difficulty I see in how you're actually looking for the screenshots. It's a good idea. So LLMs can actually do this nowadays pretty good. So it is something that I can consider, of course.
So you mentioned that for an half an hour video, you're using a lot of tokens. So I was wondering when you were experimenting with cloud service providers, how much were you paying more or less for half an hour video?
Yeah. The good news is when I use Grok, I don't have to pay anything because they have a development tier. It's pretty generous. You can transcribe, I think, about 2 hours or something like this every half an hour or so. So you can experiment with it pretty broad. On another system where I installed this, where it's used, it's actually using an internal GPU. So we don't really have any data related to token usage. What you need to take into account, when you are using ASR via API, you're actually not paying for the tokens, but you're paying for the minute that is transcribed. So it's actually depending on the length of your videos.
First, thank you very much for the presentation. Even for me, coming from the legal side and not from the engineering side, it was very nice to follow through and to understand. I have two questions, basically. The first one, are there any assessments if there is a significant higher error rate if more than like 4 or 5 speakers are involved, say, for example, like that there are 20 people participating? And the second one, would it be possible to include some kind of a feedback loop with a like second transcription model to then compare the results, particularly relevant for, I would say, speeches or discussions which have like a high quality standard, board meetings, for example? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's start with this one. VoiceVault is actually not using any speaker diarization because the speaker diarization is very expensive. So this one was intentionally left out. If that sort of data can bring much more insight, it's possible, because once you have more data, you can also use the timestamps accordingly. The only issue I've seen with the speaker diarization is when people overlap during speaking, because then you start to have this artifacts where we are still trying to segment the audio files and you're still getting two speakers no matter what you do. So it really depends on the quality of the speaker diarization. Also, speaker diarization always works like this, at least with Pianote Audio. You're always starting the model and it's creating classifiers for you in the background. That's why it's so expensive. So it means you cannot reuse them, which is hard, because a nice feature would be to have really profiles for the person, so you can always reassign them based on the voice. So this is not really possible with Pianote Audio. At least I haven't found a solution for that. Now, related, if you have multiple people, it's always the issue. So the more people you will have inside your discussion, the harder it will be to identify them. So I think you have to test it. You have to test it. The tool that I've shown here is open source. I haven't linked it in the slides, but I put on the website where the session is presented. There is also a link to the slides and also a link to the project repository. So that's what I would suggest, to test it. I tested it only for those videos like the panel discussions on conferences. They typically have 5 to 7 people. With this, it works kind of good. I haven't tested it with a discussion where 20 people or so are involved. Yeah. Thank you. So the feedback loop, you can actually have it with your chat interface. So you can ask one question like I did before. I just did a summary. And then I can go ahead and I can ask other questions like who was speaking. And when I send this, I will also use everything that was in my transcribe, of course, as a context. And I will also have the summary. And then I can still continue and I can iterate. I can also do different versions of my summary if I want. If I can see that there is a typo, I can also provide inside this chat interface a feedback to correct that typo. Okay. Yeah, this is now not part of the project. It's something that might be worth considering, because as soon as I provide the option to add multiple providers for the ASR, I think that it's a good idea to also add metadata, which model actually created the transcribe, and then maybe you can do some sort of compare inside. So doing the compare is not really difficult. There are a lot of diff tools available which can be used for this sort of task. The difficulty is finding that API layer that is kind of cross-compatible, so you can only change configurations, not change your code. You're welcome. So I think we are here. We had a question still.
Should I? So my question was more like for the on-premise stuff,
yes.
Because you mentioned like Mac Mini, but you didn't really mention the generation. Or is there like any other machines that were taking part in the AI part? And you also mentioned GPUs. Is there like a cutoff, or can you even use like older GPUs, like a 10 series NVIDIA or something like that? Can you just talk about like ballpark numbers, how many cores memory you need to run such a thing?
Yeah. So the bottleneck, first of all, will be the RAM of your GPU. So you need to actually load those models inside the RAM that your GPU has. So what you need is, depending on the model size, if you want to use the Whisper Large model, which is the biggest, you need about 10 to 12 gig of RAM just for loading the model. If you then provide the audio file, it's always going to spike a little. So you need to have some space also for those deviations. If you can take it with a trade-off in this ASR leaderboard, we can also see that the Whisper Medium model is also listed here, still quite good. There we go. So you see the Whisper Medium has an error rate of 8. The Whisper Large has an error rate of 5.5 or 6. So that's the trade-off that you can have. If you don't have hardware that is that performant, you can try still using the smaller models and see how good it performs. And then you can still consider upgrading it. What you can also do before upgrading your hardware, I would suggest just try the model on a cloud provider if it's available. Use some sort of public video if it's a data concern, and try with that video and compare them and see how well they are performing. Also, as I said, some newer models also tend to be smaller. So the Cohere model that was released here is a 2B model. So also it should not require that much hardware to run, and it will be, at least according to those benchmarks, better performing than Whisper. So you have to try it. For the LLMs, you can start with 1 to 4B models. They will run pretty smooth on the CPU if you use quantized versions. If you want to use bigger models, you should use a GPU or something that is graphically accelerated, like the things here, like the NPUs from AMD, which are now also available in consumer laptops. They're pretty good for it. And for the Apple Silicon, from the M3, basically you can use it pretty good. I think it's also working with the M2 series and the M1. I tested it personally on the M4. But I also had a colleague testing it on the M3 and it was also performing very well.
Thank you. But yeah, with the memory prices and the hardware prices,
yeah, sure,
rising, it's not that easy.
Yeah, it's Thanks. Insane currently, I know.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a question regarding OpenClaw.
Okay.
Integrating this, especially the Whisper models, with it, so I could narrate it an email, and he could then send the email when I'm in the car. So what's your take on that? How are the models for that?
Yeah. So the models that are currently available for agents like OpenClaw, you typically get a provider like OpenAI or Anthropic that you are connecting with your OpenClaw. Maybe you can also use Grok or Cerebras if you want, but you always have this trade-off, you're sending data outside to them. So they are processing your data.
Self-hosted.
If you want to run it locally, you will need a model. That's why I opened this page here. You will need a model that is capable of running tools. Because what's actually running inside OpenClaw is an AI agent, actually. And that AI agent is actually using function calling and MCP in order to take decisions. And it's calling afterwards the functions that are provided on your system, like getting data from your email account, also composing and sending the email. This is done using function calling. What I experienced so far is that those models are not really performing well on local hardware. So they can be used, but you need a GPU if you want to use them. And yeah, then it's your system. So as long as you have enclosed it, you made sure that you don't have any other API that is consuming your data, you are pretty safe. What you still have to consider, however, is the fact that you might have situations when you act on data that you get remotely. So something easy like give me the current weather. You are going to an external service to get the current weather, and that information can actually contain a malicious prompt, and that malicious prompt will go back to your system, and your system can act on it.
My question mostly was, if I'm narrating it, I need to transcribe that, this part. So
just to do the job that this tool does or
yes.
Sure, you can do it. It's actually the same. So this is the same tool stack that you can also use with OpenClaw. You will need the Whisper API. There we go. This one. You need to run this service on your local infrastructure. You need to tell your OpenClaw instance that for ASR this is the service that should be used. And then the next step is you need an LLM provider, and you can use Ollama or VLLM. But this I think this will be the hardest part to configure, because you will need to pick a good model that has a good level of reasoning, and also a model that is capable to run at a decent speed. Okay, and what's the model that you are using currently? Just curious. Bro. probably one of these. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for sure you have a GPU for this, because otherwise you won't get a decent speed. But yeah, that's the way to go. So what you can do is you can use part of your GPU now to run the Whisper service. What you can also consider for this one is you have a special configuration here where you have this idle timeout. I would really recommend to set this, because by default it won't stop. It will keep your RAM, your model loaded in the RAM, and with this you can define a timeout to stop it. Okay, I see there is a question still.
Hi, I think the talk was very interesting. I have now two questions. The first one is, what was your experience on running without a GPU, or only with a CPU? What's the estimated time for like running a full pipeline, or simply just this and cost of it?
You mean now with speech condenser or with voice vault?
Both could be fine,
okay.
Actually.
So speech condenser is painfully slow. So you can think something like twice or three times the size of your video if you run only on CPU. And on voice vault, you actually don't have the steps for the speaker diarization, so it's a bit faster. But you can also count a bit like one and a half the time of the video for doing the transcription, if you're using a larger model. Also, you can use the smallish model. Whisper also has a small model with a slightly higher word error rate. This performs better.
Okay. And the second question is that I don't know if, because I have never tried using a GPU, but I'm assuming, does any GPU works? Like, for example, if I have a GPU that is not dedicated working for AI inference, does it still work? Because I have a retired laptop that does have a GPU, and I don't know if I want to reuse it.
Yeah, so it depends, first of all, because you also have to look at the size that your GPU has. Because if you have one of the older laptops with a GPU where you have 2 gig, it's not really that useful. So you really need a much larger GPU. Also, you need to look at your vendor. There is a very good support for NVIDIA graphic cards. Also for AMD, there is very good support now, and for Apple using MLX. So those three are very good supported. Others, don't think so. So you always have to look what's available.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you very much for attending. And I also provided here the slides and the V card if you want to keep in touch. And thank you.